I had an app a few years ago where literally in order to simulate how bad the internet would get, I would just ride up and down on the elevator in my building.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ray, and welcome to the RayWenderlich.com podcast. In this podcast, we'll keep you up to date with the latest app development tech talk. Now here are your hosts, Mick and Jake.
Today we're talking about unit testing with Ellen Shapiro, Senior iOS Developer at Focal Interactive. Hey Ellen, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Now, before we dive into unit testing, Ellen, could you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and how you first got into iOS development?
Hi, I'm Ellen Shapiro. I'm, as you said, I'm Senior iOS Developer at a company called Focal Interactive. We are in the fabulous city of Chicago, Illinois, and we are hiring. So just a nice little plug. If you are interested in freezing your butt off this winter and doing some really awesome iOS work, please get in touch at vocalinteractive.com/careers. I don't have a computer science background. When I went to college, I went to Northwestern University, but I went to the radio, television, and film program there. And I actually worked out in Los Angeles for about 7 years working in television production. And I sort of really enjoyed it when I first went out there. And then after about 7 years doing it, I was like, you know what? I am really tired of this and I don't want to do it anymore. And I had sort of realized as time had gone on, like, when I first started, I was the only person who knew how to hook up a printer to a networked computer. And then I did that and people started asking me questions. And then they started asking me more complicated questions. And I finally got to the point where I actually was basically the secondary IT person at most shows that I worked at. And I kind of realized, like, well, I could be an IT person, but I really like making stuff. I really like building stuff. And I also sort of realized, when you're working on television shows, there's sometimes some downtime between seasons, or like if one show gets canceled and you're waiting for another one to start, like there's some downtime. And all of my friends would be working on stuff like writing screenplays or producing their friends' screenplays or like doing things like that. And I would be trying to figure out how my phone worked because I was so fascinated with the power of these tiny, tiny computers that had more power than the computer that landed on the moon. And like that was an astounding realization to me. And so as I got more interested, I wound up going through a program at UCLA Extension, which is their continuing education thing. So normally it's targeted at people who are working full-time. And so normally it takes them about 2 or 3 years to go through it. And because I was not working full-time, I was able to whip through it in about 6 months. And then I spent about 6 months working on my own, building my own applications. And eventually I wound up back here in Chicago working for another company called The Nerdery, and then I moved over to Focal Interactive a little over a year ago. And it's one of those things where I'm very passionate about making stuff. Like, I have always been someone, prior to working in television production, I was a singer-songwriter. It's something where I really love to make stuff. I really love being creative. And I think that's something where when I first started out, I didn't realize that that was something that you could do with computer programming. That was something that you could really, you know, unleash your creativity with it. And so that's sort of how I wound up doing what I do now.
Okay, cool. now, which part of that journey that you've just described in great detail to us?
Sorry.
Did you?
I told you I ramble.
Yeah. Like, where in that journey did you first get into unit testing? Because I know when we spoke earlier, you've not always been a unit tester.
No, yeah. I started doing really basic unit testing at my last job, just sort of, you know, very like, I want to make sure that this extremely complicated thing does exactly what I need it to. And it was something where I wasn't doing it regularly. I wasn't doing it terribly often because I think at my last job, it was sort of seen as a little bit of an afterthought. It was always sort of seen as like, well, we'll do that if we have time. And when I moved over to Focal, Focal's culture is very heavy on like, no, test stuff when you write it. I think for me, that was a little bit of an eye-opener because I saw how much more quickly I was able to catch my mistakes when I started writing the tests close to when I was writing the code. I'm not someone who believes in something like test-driven development, which is basically write a test, then write the code, and then let the test guide sort of how you write the code. I tend to be someone who's basically like, write the code, work through the issues, and then write tests around to make sure that like everything works the way that you think it does, both in the sort of case where you know that like, okay, I have verified that this is working now. And then the next thing is sort of like, okay, what are the known error cases? So like, for example, if someone is trying to log into your service and they enter in the wrong password, am I getting the error message back from the server that I should be getting when they've used an incorrect password? And am I handling that error message in my sort of networking stack so that when I get it back, it's back to me as the NS error with the proper code for me to be able to display like, hey, like your password is incorrect. And so that's the kind of testing that I do is sort of a much more sort of practical testing than sort of that strictly test-driven development.
I mean, that's great. But for those of us that are still a little skeptical about unit testing or have an attitude similar to what you mentioned with in your previous job, where it's kind of, you know, it's a nice to have and we'll do it if we get time to do it or we get around to do it. Can you give us, say, like the top two or three advantages that you feel that you get from unit testing?
Yeah, absolutely. The first one is you find out that stuff broke really early. And particularly when you're writing the tests close to when you're writing the code, you still remember what you did when you wrote the code. One of the things that's really hard about fixing bugs after a project is done is sort of trying to get back in the mentality of where you were when you were actually writing the code that caused the bug. And if you're writing your tests that are revealing these bugs at the same time as you're or close to when you're writing the code, it's much, much faster to fix stuff because you're still in that same mentality without having to sort of get back into it. Another big advantage is that you also, if you're sort of going through, especially if you're working with a networking stack where you're or some other thing where you are dependent on a third party, you're able to tell really easily when it's your code that's breaking and when it's the third party's code that's breaking. One of the things that I like to do is I like to sort of have a bunch of fake data that I use to sort of send it through my parser and make sure that everything's coming through correctly. And then I have a separate set of tests that actually hit the real server and get that same data and then send the data that it's gotten from the real server through my parser so that I know, okay, if both of them are failing, that means that something on my end changed and that I broke it. But if I have a bunch of known data and that known data is still passing on my local tests, then there's got to be something that changed on the server because if that test is failing doing basically exactly the same thing, then that means something changed on the server and I didn't know about it, which that can save you a ton of time in debugging because you know sort of exactly what changed and when it changed and where it changed. And it's definitely something where I think the other big advantage that I've seen for it is it gives you much more confidence when you have to refactor. Like for me, a really good example of this is not the current app that I'm working on for work, but the previous app that I was working on for work. I had built out the whole app. Like we were maybe like 2 or 3 weeks away from shipping. And the client decided that they did not like the design, which was frustrating. but I had written a big series of sort of UI tests that basically said, okay, when you press this button, this is what happens. And it was sort of verifying all of that so that when I had to go through and sort of rip out all of the user interface code, I could easily make sure that in each thing that I was building, I knew sort of, okay, now that this is all moved around and now that this all looks different, this is all still working under the hood exactly the same as it was before. And you can't really have that kind of confidence if you're not doing those tests. It's something where, you know, being able to just press a button and get all of that information immediately is awesome. And for me, like, having that ability without having to, like, go through a whole, like, series of QA tests and a whole series of, like, you know, the client looking through everything that I'm working on and be like, oh, God, this is wrong, bah. Being able to catch anything that wasn't working early, like, that to me is the biggest advantage.
I'm someone that hasn't been on a team that's worked with unit testing. And from my point of view, it sounds like I need to write a whole lot of extra code to do this. And it's going to take a bunch of extra time. And I understand if I'm making, like, you know, a healthcare app, or if I'm making an app for a military that controls drones or whatever, that I would want everything to be thoroughly tested. But if I'm making a camera app, I feel like it's going to take me extra work. Am I being naive?
I mean, I wouldn't say you're being naive. I think you are, because this is definitely something that I felt as well before I sort of got really into testing. Was like, well, you know, I'm not doing rocket science here. Why do I need to write all these tests? And I think the first misconception that you have is that it's a ton of extra code. Personally, I've found that it's really not all that much extra code. It's basically like, okay, I'm going to do something that goes out and runs this thing as it would normally run, and I'm just basically checking my work. I think another thing to be aware of is that writing the code can make stuff a lot easier in practice to test. On one of my personal apps, it has like a big time calculator. The way that it basically takes what I call like normal time, so like 6:36 p.m., and turns it into decimal time, so 18.6. And the way when I first built this app, because this was one of the very first apps that I built, when I first built this app, I had a paper sheet that I would go through and I would change the minute on the little time picker. And I would say, okay, 00, that's 0. 01, that's 0. 02, that's 0. 03, that's 0.1. And I would verify that anytime I had to make those changes in the code. And when I rewrote that about a year ago, I was like, every time that I had to do that, it took me almost 10 minutes. If I write a test that takes about half a second to run, then every time I make a change to that code, that test that took me, you know, maybe an extra half hour to write is going to save me 10 minutes. So spending that half hour to write the test, if I run those tests more than three times, then I've definitely saved myself time.
How do you decide what to test? So that's one thing for me that's always been a little bit, again, not having done it, it feels like I would want to write tests for everything, but it sounds more like you need to pick your battles in terms of, and that's partly why it seems like it would be so much extra code, is because I'm like, well, what do I decide to test? Like, how do I decide what's a good candidate for testing and what is something that's not worth writing a test for?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't disagree that that's sort of one of the hardest things to do. I think, you know, one of the things that I always like, I am a very firm believer in like what's called integration testing versus unit testing. So unit testing is like, I am testing this thing completely in isolation. Integration testing is I am making sure that all of these pieces are working together the way that I think they should. And for me, integration testing has always been really, really crucial because it allows me to find out early, particularly in a case where an API is still being developed or in a case where sort of you're working with something that's a little bit of a black box, you find out way earlier when things sort of change underneath you. Or, for example, like, hey, all of my remote tests just failed and all of my local tests just passed. I think the server is down. So stuff like that, you're able to find out more quickly and more easily. You know, I think one of the battles that I always sort of have to pick is how many error cases do I need to test? Like, how frequently, you know, for example, that case where, you know, somebody is entering an incorrect password. That's something that's going to happen pretty often. How frequently is somebody going to be doing something like trying to enter a one-digit credit card number instead of a 16-digit credit card number? And is that something that I should be checking at the server level, or is that something that I should be checking at the UI input level? And so, you know, sort of figuring out like, okay, where is this actually getting checked programmatically? That's where I should be testing it. instead of like testing it over and over and over again in different places. There's definitely a lot of battle picking involved, because I think, and again, to me, the biggest thing that it helps with is sort of being able to check your work and having the confidence to refactor and rewrite pieces of your application without sort of that fear of like, oh God, what if I break something? And for me, like, that's been the confidence booster that I really needed to be able to be much more aggressive about like refactoring things to be sort of like structurally more sound, because I know, okay, this works, and I have this thing that can confirm that after I changed everything, it still works. That allows me to have the confidence to sort of take something apart and put it back together in a way that's a lot more structurally sound.
We're all Objective-C developers, and we're all working in Xcode. So what are the tools available to us in Xcode? And what would a test look like? And please use examples, tangible examples, so that we can really kind of understand what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, you know, a test is basically, if you're using the XC test framework, which is built into iOS and Xcode, you're able to write very simple tests that allow you to sort of verify that pieces of data are correct. So let's take the example of if you have a really simple API controller, when you pass in a username and a password, it can immediately tell you whether the username and password are valid or not. So if you can write a test where you create an instance of your API controller, and then you call the method where you pass in the username and the password. And then you can use this method called XCTAssert. And there are a lot of different flavors of this. You can assert true, you can assert equal, you can basically there are all these options to sort of say like, okay, is this what I'm expecting back? So if you say, okay, if I pass this this sort of dummy API thing valid credentials, it will return true. You create your instance of the dummy API. You call the method that takes the username and password, and you know what that username and password are that you're passing to it. And so you will know, okay, this is a good username and this is a good password, so this should return true. So the next line that you want to write is XCT assert true, and then you check that return value from that that sort of dummy API call. What will happen is if it does assert true, then that test will pass. And if it's not true, then the test fails, and you get a little sort of arrow that's like, hey, this part of your test failed because you got false back when you were expecting true. And you can use this to test stuff like equality. You can use so like if you're expecting 1 and you got 100. That will fail. If you're expecting, you can do just a simple XCT assert equal, and then you can compare objects using that are able to compare using is equal. You can basically make sure that everything is, if you know what you're giving an object and you know what you should be getting back, you're able to confirm those assumptions in a concrete way that allows you to move forward. So that's sort of a really basic unit test. Some of the other tools that are available through Xcode, let's say you have a more complicated API controller. If you have that more complicated API controller that says, instead of just immediately returning true or false, has to go out to a server and find out information and then give you true or false back in a completion block, that's something where that's happening asynchronously. And tests generally are happening synchronously. But as of Xcode 6, Apple has added this thing called an XC test expectation. And what that does is it says, okay, I need this to happen. And I need you to wait until that happens. So the way that you set that up is before you sort of set up the instance of your API controller, you create this expectation. So you in Swift, it would be let expectation equal expectation with a description, and you give it a description, which is basically like, here's what I am expecting to happen. And then at the bottom of your class or of your test, you say, okay, wait for expectations with description, which basically means hang out until this expectation like has information that says like, yep, done, totally finished. I got all the information I need. And then within your completion block, you can actually add a little line that says expectation fulfill. And what that does is it says, okay, I got everything. So the way that this test would look is sort of, again, similar test where you're passing in a username and a password. But in this case, it's an asynchronous call, so you need to wait for it. So you have that first line where you say, okay, I am creating an expectation. And then the next thing below that would be, okay, here is my asynchronous call to my remote API that I'm not going to find anything about until that completion block executes. And so you have that call, and then you have right below it the completion block that will execute when that call completes. In that completion block, at the end of that completion block, that's where you say, okay, this expectation is now fulfilled. Once you've actually written all of that, below where that completion block is ended is where you say, wait for expectations. And if you set a bunch of breakpoints, you can kind of see this in action. You can see that like it hits the wait for expectation breakpoint before it hits the expectation fulfill breakpoint because of the way that blocks work. I feel like I need to do a diagram for that.
Some of this stuff, yeah, you got specific, and sometimes it's hard to, you know, explain code over the air, but it did make sense. Okay. And I'm a good candidate because I'm naive when it comes to this stuff. So, and I followed along just fine.
Okay.
So cool. Once I have a suite of tests, how do I run them? What does that look like?
You can do one of two things. So if you sort of long press the run button, a little test, you'll see a wrench sort of pop up, and that sort of run all of the tests that I have right now. And that's something that's really easy. It's set up automatically for you in Xcode when you create a new project. That's something where it's just like, just run everything. The other thing that you can do is look in sort of, they call it the gutter, the little space between all of your lines and then where your actual file starts. Like basically like where your actual writing in a file starts. In your XCTest subclasses, you'll see some little diamonds next to each test method that you have. And if you sort of click on the diamond, that will just run that one individual test. That can be really, really helpful because, you know, particularly if you have a lot of tests, you don't necessarily, like when you're trying to check one thing, you don't want to run every single test at the same time. Like obviously tests should not be dependent on other tests, but you want to make sure that like, okay, I have certain things that will take 5 seconds to test, but I only need to test this one thing that takes a quarter of a second to test. So like basically it allows you to be incredibly impatient and say, okay, I just want to run this one thing. You can also, if you look at the top of the left sort of panel of Xcode, you've got, you know, your project navigator and all the stuff like the issue navigator and stuff like that. You can also grab this thing called the test navigator. It's the one where it looks like a little diamond with a minus sign in it. And you'll be able to see, like, here are my sets of tests. Here are the package of tests that I have. Here is each file of tests. And here are all of the tests that are taking place in that file. And you'll actually see, like, little, like, play buttons next to either the file of tests, the package of tests, or each individual test, and you can hit each of those play buttons and run them at whatever level of granularity you want. So you can say, okay, I want to run all of my local tests at once. And so you, at the file level for your local tests, you press the play button and it runs all of your local tests. Or if you just want to say, I want to run every last one of my tests, you go out to sort of, it kind of looks like a little Lego brick, the package level, and you say, okay, I'm going to press this button and it will run all of the tests that I have for this particular package.
The RayWenderlich.com podcast will be right back. But first, a message from our sponsor.
RSS Heap is a web-based reader for software developers. You subscribe to tags you're interested in, iOS, Swift, Objective-C, Java, C#, etc., and RSS Heap will find great articles for you to read. Articles are sorted by how many votes they have to ensure you always read high-quality content. To learn more, check out their website at www.rssheap.com.
Okay, so I have a question. We've talked about using unit tests to make sure that the code we've written behaves in the way that we want it to, and therefore, you know, not generate bugs and crashes and whatnot. But what safeguards do we have to make sure the tests run as we want them to and like not introduce bugs because we've got bad tests?
That's a really good question. For me, the answer to that is that tests shouldn't be considered a complete fail-safe. I'm a very strong believer that tests are never going to catch everything. Tests are going to catch a lot, but there are certain stuff that you really need human eyes to look at. You really sort of need to see, like, okay, this test is passing, but the test is only passing because the assumptions I made when I wrote the test are false. You can see that through actually using the application. You know, I think I've seen people who will be so involved in test-driven development that they will literally just never even run the application. They're like, whatever, my tests pass. And it's like, you can't know that anything works until you actually try to use it. And you know, this is one of the reasons that I'm actually pretty heavily into UI testing. I have about a half hour worth of UI tests that run on my current project. And that's partly because one of the things that I really like to see is that, like, yes, when this app is actually running, like, it's doing what I expect it to do. For me, like, those UI tests are a really key thing because they test everything working together at the same time. You know, it allows you to sort of say, okay, I've seen these pieces working together at the same time, but it's absolutely not a substitute for having QA. It's absolutely not a substitute for actually running your app and just playing with it like an actual user, because there are things that users do that a computer cannot replicate. Like, I can't replicate in UI tests what happens when I exit the application and then come back into it. I can't replicate in a UI in a test environment, like, okay, I am using the application as I drive into a tunnel, and all of a sudden I have no internet. And, you know, I think one of the hardest things to test in an automated sense is issues around losing connectivity, because you can't just sort of write a test that says, okay, suddenly have all of my network traffic slow to a complete crawl and maybe just disappear. That's something where you can do sort of manual testing of some of that using an Apple tool called Network Link Conditioner. And it's available through the Apple website, and it's something that allows you to sort of simulate crappy internet. But, you know, there's certain circumstances where I had an app a few years ago where literally in order to simulate how bad the internet would get, I would just ride up and down on the elevator in my building because I knew that it was going to cause my internet to drop out. You know, there's that kind of testing that these are issues that users in the real world are going to have that you are never going to be able to test. And that's something to keep in mind, is that, like, writing tests is going to help you catch a lot of cases, but it will never catch everything. And I say the same thing about QA. I think, you know, like I said, the last place that I worked was much more about having human testers who are doing all of the human testing, but less about having the automated tests. And there's stuff that automated tests will catch in a second that a human tester couldn't catch in 5 hours, and vice versa. There's stuff that humans can catch in a second that an automated test will never catch. So it's really important to sort of remember that, like, you know, yes, tests are really, really, really helpful, but they can't work alone. And it's definitely something where, you know, you sort of look at, like, okay, how much time am I spending every time I need to go and test this particular thing? How much time am I spending, like, okay, I'm going to type in the username and password, and then I'm going to hit this button, and then I'm going to hit this button, and then I'm going to hit this button, and then I'm going to do that. Like, if you can automate that process, that saves you a ton of time. And that's where, for me, again, the sort of integration and UI testing comes in really handy, because it's something where I am able to say, okay, I'm going to focus on just this particular thing, and I will assume that all of this other stuff is working correctly because I have all of this other stuff tested.
So you mentioned UI testing a few times there. Are you using unit tests for that, or is that via some other mechanism?
I am using Square's library called KIF, which is an abbreviation for Keep It Functional. I have sort of a love-hate relationship with KIF. it is an exceedingly powerful testing mechanism. It does, I think I mentioned, it takes a while to run. The way that I have all of my tests set up, I'm basically sort of, because each test should not depend on anything other than itself, I'm basically like deleting my entire database, like resetting all state before I am starting a new test. So if I do have something where I have to like, okay, I have to tap this and this and this and this in order to get into the view where I need to make these, do these tests, there's a long time where for particular things, like especially I'm thinking particularly of the settings view for the current app that I'm working on, where it's like, okay, first it has to log in, and then it has to tap this button, and then it has to tap the settings button, and then it can actually do the test. So like every single test that I have, it has to go back through that. Like I said, it is time consuming to run, but for me, it's much less time consuming than actually having to check all of that stuff every single time I make a change. I can have the confidence to say, okay, when I made this change, it didn't affect anything else. Everything else is still working just fine.
So we have time for just one last question.
Okay.
If I have an existing app that's kind of large and I'm interested in starting with unit testing, but I've already got all this code, how do I, is that going to be a problem? Is it worth writing a bunch of unit tests after the fact? Like, what would you suggest in that scenario?
Yeah, I would say it's worth writing unit tests after the fact on whatever you can. I think one of the things that's hard about that is that when code isn't sort of designed to be tested, you do sometimes end up testing sort of more than one thing at a time, even if you don't want to. I you know, it's always something where, for me, I always say it's worth going in and sort of trying to figure out, like, okay, here is a piece where I know that if I'm working with this API, I know that this is what I want to get back. And if you have that API where you're like, okay, I know that this is what I want back, then yeah, you could absolutely write a test for that. And I think it does make it a little bit harder to sometimes tell where something is failing, but it's useful to at least know that it is failing. You know, and that's something where having those tests, especially as you write the tests, it reveals to you where certain things are, where certain dependencies are too strongly coupled, where you're sort of trying to do too many things in one place because you're like, well, I want to be able to write a test for this, but it's all sort of tangled up in this other thing. And by writing those tests, you're allowing yourself to say like, okay, I have this sort of known good state and I can verify this known good state. And so that when you go and you actually sort of split that thing out more naturally, you can say, okay, now I'm going to run these tests again and verify that even though I've split this out, everything still works the same way. And what it does is it allows you to be more confident as you try to improve that code base. And it's something where, you know, you can sort of make sure that, especially for code bases that you're less familiar with, it actually helps you become more familiar with the code base because you're able to sort of look through it and start to see how all the pieces fit together and what they're each supposed to be giving you when all is said and done.
Okay, I think that's probably a good place to wrap things up. Ellen, thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Now, Ellen mentioned KIF when she was talking about testing user interface. And we've actually got a KIF tutorial on the site, so we'll put a link to that in the show notes. And also, if you are interested in unit testing and you'd like to learn more about it, then we can highly recommend checking out iOS 7 by tutorials and iOS 8 by tutorials, both of which have chapters on testing. And guys, that's it for another episode. And this also marks the end of our current season. As always, if you have any questions or feedback, then please don't hesitate to get in touch via podcast@raywenderlich.com. And if you enjoyed the podcast, then please do leave a review on iTunes. Thanks for listening. Have a great Christmas and New Year. And we'll see you all again late January with the start of Season 3.
And that's a wrap. Thanks again, everybody, for listening to the raywenderlich.com podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget to leave a rating on iTunes. See you next time.